You bastards! Why are you torturing me like this? Why? Shut up!
You're listening to Over Under Movies on the Playlist, the show where we pick one overrated movie and one underrated movie in a similar vein, tone, or style, and we discuss them. I'm Ryan Oliver.
This is Octavia Kozak.
And I'm Eric McClanahan.
So as teased in the last episode, we have prepared. Eric has read from the Necronomicon, and we have brought our boomsticks, saws, and we're about to tear some shit up. Eric's choices this week, as we mentioned before, are Sam Raimi's original cult classic, The Evil Dead, and Fede Alvarez's remake of The Evil Dead from 2013, which is the underrated Evil Dead pick with the... Without the and the overrated being the original Evil Dead. So I want to pass this over to you, Eric. What is your relationship with the Evil Dead series? Why did you choose this particular order for overrated and underrated? And what makes the remake an improvement over the original for you?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I guess with I'll start with the why, and I will admit, especially after rewatching both these movies, this is kind of an odd time of year. It feels like an odd time to choose these movies, I guess. And I think you guys kind of acknowledged that when we were like spitballing ideas for my next episode. And so it is sort of weird. And maybe this one belongs more around like October when people are thinking more about these kind of movies. But I guess it popped up in my mind because I knew I wanted to do this episode at some point on the podcast. But Fede Alvarez, the director of the remake, has a new movie out called Don't Breathe. And, you know, it was reviewed at South by Southwest, its premiere there at the Playlist. So that was fairly recently. I was like, oh, that guy's got a new movie. I remember liking the Evil Dead remake quite a bit. And also there's the Ash versus Evil Dead series that's out there on Stars, which mm-hmm. I haven't seen, but Octa, you're a big fan of, right?
I'm a big fan of, in terms of like how much it fits the character, which is like just wanton stupidity. That's what I'm okay. a fan of.
Yeah, no, I've heard it's a lot of fun from other people, just beyond you even, Octay. So, but yeah, I've been meaning to catch up with that, haven't. So I guess that, you know, kind of swings me around to the franchise overall and my thoughts, because like the franchise is still alive. It's still continuing, and I still think about it, and enough to like warrant this discussion, I'd say, even though it's an odd time to do it, is I guess Evil Dead 2 for me is the masterpiece. Like, that's Evil Dead 2 of this series, of any of these mm-hmm. Evil Dead properties, is the perfect like encapsulation, I think, of what Sam Raimi does as a filmmaker. I think it's his best movie. It's really funny. It embraces all of the things that I think some people ironically enjoy about the original Evil Dead, that being the humor and sort of over the top silly effects, the sort of fakiness of it. Maybe that's just one aspect, but yeah, I'm a big fan of Evil Dead 2. Really, really enjoy Army of Darkness as well. The original, though, when I saw it a couple years ago, I got to see it on a film print at a theater nice. Here in Portland. Yeah, the Hollywood Theater here. And the original, The Evil Dead. And it really made me realize, seeing it in a theater in its proper, quote unquote, proper context, projected on a screen and in the dark, a big screen. And the movie really did nothing for me. And that still, I would say, is my overall thoughts, having just watched it yesterday, revisiting it again, just on my TV screen. I just watched it, and I gotta say, the movie is like, it's. I'm not gonna say that The Evil Dead, the Raimi version, is a bad movie. I just think that when people talked about the remake came out, which was fairly well received and did well enough at the box office, people saw it. I think in comparing the two, I think The Evil Dead, the 81 version, is one that I see a lot of people herald as like a classic of the horror genre. Even if they think it's kind of campy and silly, like they sort of acknowledge that's what's great about it, is the sort of feeling I take from when people talk about it, and I don't feel that way anymore. I might have agreed about that before, but I've never been crazy about the first film. For me, it's like Evil Dead 2 is genius because it amps up all the things that work about the first one, which aren't that much in my opinion, and
it's
makes them all
too,
better.
By the way.
Exactly right. I mean, that's you can't even really technically call it a sequel. Mm-hmm. It is. It's as if Sam Raimi was acknowledging, yeah, that first one was like my student film, my reel to get.
Exactly.
But that it's like not always. I like Sam Raimi, but it's not always that great to see the earlier projects. I think we got at a similar point when I chose The Last House on the Left for Wes Craven as an overrated movie because that movie has elements that. You know, people talk about it's infamous, it's got a reputation, but it's not a very well stitched together movie. And I can make a lot of the same arguments for the original The Evil Dead. And you know, I feel like I've been talking a long time, so I'd like to hand it off to one of you guys, but like generally that's where it is. Evil Dead 2, great. Love Army of Darkness, love the more comical over the top stuff. The original I think is kind of creaky and the makeup and gore is really cheesy and like low budge in a way that it suffers now, and whereas this remake is really visually dynamic and the gore is really well done. And I also think they took more care with the script in the remake. It's got a sort of sheen that's common to a lot of these modern day remakes of horror, beloved horror, older movies, but I think it rises above definitely like the Platinum Dunes bullshit. And I think Fede Alvarez's remake is one of the really good remakes to put out there, like along with Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead, I'd say. So again, I do feel like I've been going on for a while, but that is sort of like a good encapsulation of my feelings on the franchise and why I thought it'd be fun to talk about the two movies in comparison, because like remakes are often discarded quickly. I think we all do that. But what do you guys think? Like, did you like the Evil Dead remake?
I did like it. I do feel like the original, and I love the original, by the way. I do feel that both movies are director showcases, and I realize that, especially watching the remake this time out, because I actually ended up, just because of availability of watching, I ended up watching the remake first, not overall, but in prep for this episode. And I was like, other than the lead actress in the film, whose name is Jane Levy, who plays Mia, I was like, other than her, I was like, the acting is like universally pretty terrible in this movie. And then I was like, but I was like, I can't use that as an argument because someone's going to counter right back with the original movie because the acting is universally terrible in that movie too, with the to a degree exception of Bruce Campbell, mainly because he gets him and Raimi are friends. He's on Raimi's wavelength. He gets what he's going for in the movie, and therefore works for it. But I do like the remake, like the original, in the way that it is a showcase for this filmmaker Fede Alvarez, and Raimi meant for that. The reason he wanted to do a remake is because he's like, I think this story and this property is a good launching point for a promising up and coming filmmaker. And Alvarez did this really good special effects driven short called Panic Attack. They got a lot of notice, like in 2009, I want to say.
His budget.
I actually watched it in a film class, and so when that came out, I was like, "Oh, it was the guy who made that movie." And it's a very like technically impressive movie, but at the same time, the original is a really technically impressive movie, not only for its time but for its budget. Like the Raimi, it feels like a young passionate filmmaker. Went out in the jungle, not the jungle, but out in the woods, and just made it. He's like, I got an idea, and I have a limited amount of money, limited amount of resources, and I'm just gonna fucking do it. I'm just gonna go out there and make it. And I'm watching it again, and I agree with you, Eric, that it's like there, it is campy, and some of the effects don't hold up. But I do feel watching this movie in 1981 or two in a packed house probably would have been like the effects would have held up a little bit more for the time. But I do think the way that Amy's camera is always moving, and the way that it is always just, there's so much energy in the movie, and so much like I do think he intentionally blended humor and scares. He definitely perfected it with Evil Dead 2, but I do feel that was his intention here. And all those actors stayed in that cabin for the entirety of the shoot, and people actually got hurt, and they had limited amount of like health resources. And instead of actually like Bruce Campbell hurt his leg, and instead of actually doing something about it, Raimi like prodded and provoked him, and like, you know, tried to get the reactions out of them. So even though
if you listen to the commentary, it's basically them complaining about how miserable the whole experience was from beginning to end.
Exactly. And so like that, and you know, maybe the movie does have to work, but I still think the story of how a movie is made can still be effective in viewing the movie to all those people who slammed The Revenant for that. But that's a different conversation. But I think that this movie is incredibly, you know, well done for a first film. How he got the shots in the conditions that they did is just, it's such an impressive first feature. And the way he moves that camera has been seen not just in horror films, but in films throughout the history. And as much as I can praise the remake for being so technically astute, for being so good in its gore effects, and it's a good gory movie for sure, but yes, that style is still very much Raimi's. It's still very much his own, and he still very much created that with the original film. And
feels derivative, even though you agree that it's technically an improvement, mainly because they had a bigger budget too.
Exactly. But as Eric said, like this is a good remake, and I give them credit again, even though I think only one of the performances is worthwhile, and there's other like really bad, like, you know, plot threads in the remake that we can maybe get into. But
Ren, I'm curious about, because I actually, you say you didn't like anybody but the actress that plays Mia. I thought Lou Taylor Pucci was like the best thing in the remake.
I don't agree whatsoever.
You don't like him.
I found them all to be really flat. I think
he's the humor.
I think
in
his
the
performance
movie.
is okay, but the character's written so terribly that I'll get to why I hate that.
I think he's trying to be funny, but I don't think that he
I think he's genuinely trying to come across as like someone who's like seriously freaking out from minute one.
He looks like I forgot the character's name, but he looks like the teacher from Beavis and Butthead. And my biggest issue too, and you know, we're talking about both movies, so I can get into it. I did not like his performance, and also the characters are perceived, or they're supposed to be perceived in this movie, as smarter. Like, he's a teacher, the one gal is a doctor or a nurse. They are smarter people. Like, you believe in the Evil Dead.
Teenage idiots, they're portrayed in the original kind of thing.
Exactly. You believe they're idiots. And also, when the Necronomicon is read in the original, they're listening to a tape, which, you know, it seems silly, but they're still listening to it. And so
it's
that
much
is...
Oh, yeah, I want to definitely
so
get into
dumb.
How the...
There's no reason for him to read
so
that
stupid
fucking book. Yeah. And it's like, it's only to drive the plot. That's all it is.
But something that I want to get into. It's not only like... Well, before I get into like my overall thoughts about these two films or whatever, let me go on what you just said about like the way that the book is read, the Necronomicon is read in Evil Dead remake is that moment is coming. It's an Evil Dead movie. Someone's gonna read the Necronomicon, or Necronomicon's gonna be involved somehow. But the way that it happens in this, it's almost like it's not only just nonsensical and stupid in a way that's just like, it's almost like trolling, because the way that it's set up is like, you know, it's almost like they're saying, you know, this moment has to happen, so someone has to make this really stupid choice, but it makes sense for a couple of dumb teenagers to, like, put on a tape and be like, oh, it's like some occult stuff that someone was studying in this cabin, let's listen to it while getting drunk or whatever.
I agree with
It's something completely different when they find this book in a room full of, like, dead burnt cats that are hanging upside down, which first of all, like, you'd probably get the fuck out of there immediately as soon as you saw that, but fine. And then the guy, that's why, like, the part of the reason why I hate the way that character is written, not the performance as much, but it's almost like the movie is daring you to, like, buy into the dumb teenager or the dumb young character reads off the book to bring the demons or whatever cliche, because it's just like it piles on every single possible reason why this book shouldn't be read, as if it's a, like, it becomes like a Mel Brooks movie or something, like a parody or something, because the book is like covered in like barbed wire,
plastic wrap.
Every single page says, "Don't read this. This is written in blood." It's like a parody scene. It's like straight out of like a scary movie or something.
Well, you know what movie kind of hurts the perception of this movie for me anyway was Cabin in the Woods, which came out the year before. It was shot 4 years before this movie because it was shelved for like 3 years for some reason. But I feel like, and this isn't the Evil Dead movie's fault necessarily, right? Like, it's not the fault of the movie, but there was definitely like zero awareness of this other movie that like takes those cliches and just like completely cuts them up and gives like speeds into the dogs.
I think there was a little bit in the way that they set up the characters. The thing that I find like vastly superior to the original and superior to a lot of other kind of cliched Cabin in the Wood type movies, that the Cabin in the Woods turned that into the whole reason for that story to exist in the first place, of like bringing in those like very one-dimensional archetypes of, you know, the virgin, the whore, the jock, the nerd. And you know, in Cabin in the Woods, that's like kind of used towards a little allegory about like the horror fan wanting blood from these characters, and we're like the gods that are in that movie, or whatever. You know, there's like those like kind of thematic elements there, and it's, you know, Cabin in the Woods in that sense makes fun of like the Evil Dead archetype, the Evil Dead mold of you know, a bunch of dumb teenagers going to the cabin in the woods to party. And the thing that I think separated that from a kind of parody, like, you know, something that Cabin in the Woods would parody, is that the film begins with kind of a dark note. They're not, you know, the characters are not there to party. They're there because their friend is a drug addict who might OD and die if she doesn't quit cold turkey. And it already starts from this like dark and gloomy place. Like, there's no like partying or dumb teenagers getting drunk and doing stupid things that is set up, apart from that like one glaring, really bizarre like scene of the character reading the book and all that. But apart from that, that's what I like about it. It already starts from like this really kind of brooding negative space. You don't have to sit through like 30 minutes of stupid like cheesy filler of like teenagers acting dumb and doing like jokes around each other and, you know, just drinking up, and then, you know, it's just like all this stuff where you're like, you just look at your watch and you're like, yeah, you know, whatever, just get to the point. Where this feels like there's at least some attempt at bringing some drama and some originality to this setup. And, you know, of course, the rest of the film is obviously the point is to bring the gore, and it's a exercise in style, and it's about like these horrific like but creative gore set pieces full of like practical effects and all that stuff. But at least they also, like the rest of the film, they also attempt to bring in the theme of like at first the tree rape happens, and which is weird that it also exists in the remake, because that was the one scene that Sam Raimi admitted that he felt kind of like guilty about.
I'm glad you brought that up. I was gonna bring that up too. Like, I would probably not do that again.
And it was in the remake, so maybe it was because the fans were like, the tree rape, that was the best part of the movie, so maybe he was like, yeah, I'll put it in there somehow. And
I don't want to know those fans.
Yeah, I don't either.
They exist, unfortunately.
They do.
I mean, it's not because they love rape. It's because like there are those gore hounds who are just like, oh, you know, like who just like attach themselves to like the most extreme parts of these movies, and say like, yeah, man, that was like so ballsy that they did that. They should do that. Like, it's like, it's about like pushing the envelope. It's not really about like being pro rape or whatever. In the, I think in that sense, at least, like, that's what I hope is the case. But yeah, so that happens, and then like, there's a little bit of a, you know, plot connection there, a little bit of a character connection there, where they're like, oh, she's, you know, what's that called? Like, she's just imagining it because she's in withdrawal, and then later on there's
hallucinating.
Yeah, well, like hallucinating, or you know, or she's just flat out lying because she wants to get out there so she can get her next fix. But then right. You know, we're told that if that happens, she might OD and die this time. So there's like more stakes than, you know, we're at this cabin to like get fucked up and party, and then now these like weird shit is happening, and also like, you know, it kind of goes through with that theme, at least very, very below the surface of like, you know, the climax about like, you know, an addict fighting against her worst self kind of thing, you know, like the big bloody climax. You know, there's a little bit of stuff like that. It's not really like super smart or intriguing or full of depth or anything, but at least there's an attempt to do something like that, as opposed to The Evil Dead, where it's just like a bunch of annoying idiots who just go up there to party and then, you know, raise the dead.
Well, not even that, really. Like, the original is, you know, I do acknowledge the limits it had and they had in their budget, and I do respect and in some ways am in awe that they made that movie at all. Like, that's really impressive. But there's no real sense that they're like even people in that movie. So like, when shit starts to hit the fan in the original, Ryan, you say that they intended it to be funny. I always took the original as being an attempted at like serious horror.
The attempt of the original was serious horror. That's,
and I think,
yeah, it's interesting. I don't
think it's funny in retrospect, looking at how shitty it looks is like, and that's the thing I really like about this remake so much in comparison, even though I agree with the very clear flaws that it has, is that it is a more intense, realistic, visceral, like horror, serious gore movie. And then it does have what Octay just described so well, this whole like drug addiction brother sister narrative, like really works for me in the movie. It's not pulled off great. The acting by and large, sure, is not great. I don't think it's terrible, but like, I think it's serviceable. But the narrative idea,
exactly,
that's the ambition, it's well thought out. It's just not maybe like crafted to its best, but
at least they tried.
It's that, but I want to give them a little bit more than that, because they're like halfway there. They like, they did a solid job, and they are reaching. There isn't an ambition there that you definitely don't see in like, holy shit, like the fucking Platinum Dune remakes of all those Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, that stuff's garbage. That's just disposable product. And there, I do think when it really boils down to it, I would love to know what you guys just say, gut reaction is, if someone lays out a choice and it's like, which Evil Dead do you want to watch? I would watch the remake every time. I just think it had the money. So it's like a better version of it, because they are director showcases. I guess I'd rather watch the director showcase that has more money behind it.
Go ahead, Brian. Sorry.
No, I was just to say, I don't agree. I would definitely take the original over this one, because this one is, while impressive, I don't think it's dramatically enough to warrant how gruesomely unpleasant it is throughout. Like,
it's pretty gruesome.
It's gruesome, and I
nasty.
I respect that. It's nasty, and that's fine. I'm not like offended by that. I think it's great, because I love horror movies, but I do think. I really do think that Raimi had a sense of humor making the first movie. Like, I truly believe, like, yeah. I don't know. There's speculations. Nobody's really come out and say that. You can really only speculate whether it's in hindsight that it's funny or if they had a sense of humor. But I say the evidence from everything, from Evil Dead 2 to Army of Darkness to Darkman to Drag Me to Hell to the terrible, like, middle act snapping the finger scene in Spider-Man 3, like, Raimi has a goofy sense of humor. And mm-hmm. I think that while making that movie, that he's like, okay, I don't have good actors. He's like, I have a good idea. I just want to make it this ride. He's like, but I don't have, you know, I don't have the actors to do it. They might be able to pull it off, like, from an athletic standpoint, but not from an acting standpoint. I think that it's, like, deliberately terrible and cheesy, like, especially when they're first driving to the cabin, and there's this, just, like, goofy reaction from the guy driving. Like, Ash is looking at the map, and he's like, "We're at," and then he just turns around, and there's the smile he gives is, "Yeah?" Just, like, the way that is, like, cut and framed and, like, said, I was like, there's no way he didn't intend for that to be funny. Like, there is no way that he was meant for that to be played off as serious. And even Joel Cohen, who was the assistant editor on this movie, liked the merging of violence and humor, and it was part of his inspiration for Blood Simple. So... That's true.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a bit of a combination of both. There are, you know, the audio commentary, and there are some interviews that where they state that they wanted to go out and make, like, a more serious, more scary, like, brooding horror movie. And I think that's why the screenplay itself is as straightforward as it is, and it's the execution that makes it look funny and goofy in many ways. And if you look at, like, moving from that point on, you look at Evil Dead, that was obviously written as a comedy horror. But you can, you know, just like you see in the Evil Dead remake, which is basically like the same setup and the same kind of story beats, even though it has different characters, it's completely gruesome and terrifying and gory, and, you know, there's not a lot of tongue in cheek. And so it's just like, I feel like they, during production, he, you know, yeah, Sam Raimi, of course, has his goofy side. He's a huge fan of the Three Stooges. All those guys were, you know, Bob Tapert and Bruce Campbell and Ted Raimi and Ivan and all those guys. And they were all, like, big fans of slapstick, and they were big fans of, like, just pushing the envelope of horror and gore and effects. And, you know, the original movie is much more of a exercise in style than it is a full-fledged, you know, movie with a certain story or tone in many ways. Like, it's just the whole thing is like a very shoestring kind of, you know, thin archetype of a setup. And then within that, there's just, like, during the shoot and everything else, they came up with, like, all Sam Raimi came up with, like, the angles and the dynamic way that he chose to, like, create these, like, bloody set pieces, and came up with the, you know, the light bulb fills up with blood, and the projector, you know, just, like, fills up with blood, and, like, all that stuff. It's just, like, you know, there's a bunch of, like, episodic nonsensical stuff that happens in this movie that's, like, so much fun to watch, because it also, like, I feel like, you know, as far as your question, Eric, I feel like it depends on my mood about which one I would choose to watch. I would watch the original if I felt nostalgic, but I would definitely watch the remake if I felt like I wanted to sit through a more contemporary, a more viscerally satisfying kind of, like, dark, gory, intense, like, seriously intense horror experience. Not a right. Goofy, intense, like, not a, like, you know, a throwback kind of thing. And I think it really matters when you watch the first Evil Dead, and it really matters, like, your position on filmmaking, because in many ways this is, like, one of those films, like, maybe like Clerks or Slacker, that are like a struggling, aspirational, idealistic up-and-coming filmmakers films, like, you know, like, all these, like, it's one of those films where it's just like, man, these guys went out there and they did their own thing, and look at how much they were able to accomplish with such a small budget. It's just like, looking at stuff like that for like young filmmakers, that stuff is always inspirational. And I watched the first Evil Dead with my film school friends for the first time, when we were just, like, hanging out at my place late at night, getting drunk, and we just, like, popped it in. And it was, like, freshman year film school, so it's just, like, it's, like, the perfect place and the time for us to experience a film like The Evil Dead, where you look at it and you're kind of, like, you're entertained by all this, like, gory goofiness that's going on, but you're also kind of inspired by, like, how grainy and grimy and cheap it looks, but how much they, you know, he was able to accomplish just by using clever camera movement or angles and clever editing and stuff like that. So it's just like there's that kind of like inspirational part of it that that doesn't really exist in the remake, because the remake is like much more polished. It has money behind it, and it's better made in that sense. But that's why I have like this. Even watching it today, it just like brings me back to those times of, you know, it has this like, it has that charm to it. It has that like accessibility to it, as for like, you know, up and coming filmmakers. And you know, that would be the one that maybe, you know, if it was like a horror fan who's just like, I've never seen any of the Evil Dead movies. Well, first I would be like, just go watch Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness, but whatever. but you know, if it was like a hardcore horror fan, I'd be like, yeah, watch the remake. You'll probably have more fun out of it. But if it was like a first, you know, like a first year film student, or someone who's like really into film, someone who's really into like going out there and making his own thing, I would be like, watch the original and see like how these kind of like plucky kids from, like Michigan, I think, just went out there and like found this abandoned shed and like went out there and like raised like $90,000 and made this movie. And that to me is like, is where the charm of the Evil Dead lies, like the backstory of how it was made. And it depends on like who you are as a film fan to approach it. But on its own, if you just showed both films to people who have no idea how either of these films were made, they just want to like sit down and get scared and entertained, I feel like, yeah, they would probably find the original to be silly and boring at many points.
Don't do it, you little bitch! Don't cut it off!
Yeah, and Octa, I think your point, like, for me, I guess where I get hung up is, I feel like the Evil Dead, the original 1981 version, is like kind of null and void once the Evil Dead 2 was made in 87. Yes. Like, once that's that comes out, it's like,
it's not really,
yeah, a sequel. Exactly. Yeah. So that to me, it's like, well, yeah, you could show them, oh, watch the crappy student film quality version, the Evil Dead, or watch the one where they got a little bit more time, a little more money, and they were better filmmakers. Like, watch that one, because that's the better movie overall. And like, that's why they redid it, basically, or rebooted it in a sense. I mean, that's how I feel about it. I don't mean to completely knock the original, because in the camera angle and the camera movement and innovation department, I still really love the original, and it is impressive, especially
and
with
how
the
reckless they were too. It's like, it's fun,
yeah, to watch, yeah,
in that sense too.
Totally, like a good
they,
way
they
to
totally
put it
drove
now.
Into like that final shot, they put a the camera on a motorcycle, and they totally drove it into
that's
Bruce Campbell at like, you know, 40 miles an hour. He like broke his arm or something like that. Like,
oh jeez,
it's insane, like the kind of,
well, and I love did. And then that happens, that is a great final shot in the original one. And then of course that cut with the like the, yeah, old-fashioned song, it's so, that is a great, yeah, there's great things in the original. I don't mean to completely like write it off, it's just,
it's charming stuff. It's, you know,
it's charming. But however I look at, like, it's like this, it's like Quentin Tarantino made a movie before Reservoir Dogs. It was called like My Best Friend's Birthday or something like, mm-hmm, that, and he didn't really want that to, he's like, it didn't really get released. I feel like Evil Dead to Evil Dead 2 is like that to Reservoir Dogs for Tarantino. Like, I don't want to, I've seen that film. I think it's called My Best Friend's Birthday, and it's like on YouTube. Or let's even look at like the Dirk Diggler story that P.T. Anderson made. He was like 19. I'd rather watch Boogie Nights than the Dirk Diggler story. And to me, the Evil Dead versus Evil Dead 2, or even the remake, is sort of like, why? I'm sort of like over it, I guess. So I guess I'm writing it off, but I don't mean to be so dismissive. It's just, I feel like there's such better versions of what Raimi and other people inspired by Raimi, or, you know, basically knocking him off, are doing, that I just feel like is an improved, more honed version. I just enjoy watching those more, I guess.
Like Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, as we discussed in a previous episode, and you mentioned being, which is funny. Like,
burn.
If you think about it, it's an opposite argument.
Yes.
Well, yeah. And if you think about it being circular, it's like this movie with the five, you know, younger people going out to an isolated area, probably very much inspired by Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and then part two being inspired by the goofiness of the Evil Dead, and just comes back full circle.
Okay, so I really like your point, and you're right. I kind of am almost contradictory argument I'm making, except that I would say, if I'm going to hold up the Evil Dead to the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like, I'll just go, like, gore effects. Like, Tobe Hooper could have probably done the same level of gore that they did in the original The Evil Dead, but he didn't show that stuff. And so the, like, the cheesy, like, corn food guts effects, like, I don't have to, that doesn't date the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's still this crazy nightmare of a movie because he withheld certain things, whereas Raimi, even though had no budget, he went full bore with the gore, and that stuff doesn't hold up. It's like so shitty I can't even like laugh at it. It's just kind of boring.
I don't think it's that shitty. I understand though.
Let me mediate this argument. Let's try to come up with some kind of compromise in between here, which I think Ryan has a point of coming back with, like, well, pretty much the same thing happened with Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like this up and coming director, a really low budget, going out to make like a movie with like this grimy like horror movie with a bunch of unknown actors, and like all the setups are there, and there are, you know, you have to admit, like, there's some like bad pieces of like silly acting in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. There's stuff where the low budget like really shows itself, and the lack of experience shows itself. But true. I think the part that I agree with you, Eric, is that yes, the saving grace of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre was Tobe Hooper's putting more weight on mood. Like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre is more of a mood piece as opposed to the Evil Dead's over reliance on style. Mm-hmm. And gore effects, which, you know, that stuff, style and special effects get dated. That's just the thing that happens. And suspense and mood, it's hard, if you really pull it off, it's hard to date that. So I think that makes those two different movies, and that makes Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original, clearly the better than The Evil Dead. And I think you know, your point about, But then, yeah, I think Ryan does also have a bit of a point about, like, yeah, let's not dismiss the older, influential, like massively influential original low budget film just because they came back and made a sequel with much more money with a completely different tone. And the way I look at Evil Dead specifically is, like, there are two Evil Dead franchises. There's Ash versus the Evil Dead, which is comedy horror in the style of, like, that brings in, like, the old-fashioned, like, Three Stooges and, like, Abbott and Costello meets Frankenstein or whatever, which is basically, like, the formula of putting, like, this completely inexperienced, way over his head goofball in these, like, like horrifying situations, which Ash is the perfect character for that.
So good.
So those are Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness, and the recent Ash versus Evil Dead, which basically, it was perfect for at the beginning of Evil Dead. It was kind of like a, you know, it wasn't like their ideal situation. I think Sam Raimi wanted to use footage from the first Evil Dead, but because of rights issues, he couldn't. So he ended up having to have this like 5-10 minute introduction to Evil Dead where he wanted to like go over what happened in the first film. But that gave him the opportunity of like, well, if we're gonna remake this whole thing, why didn't I just like get rid of some elements that I didn't like, just make this about this couple. So Evil Dead 2 completely reboots Evil Dead 1, so it makes the Evil Dead, the 1981 even the Evil Dead, completely non-canonical. Like, I don't look at it even as having anything to do with Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness and Ash vs. Evil Dead, because like I even look at like the character in the Evil Dead to me is Ashley. It's not Ash, because I mean call him Ashley during the whole thing. He doesn't have any of those like, you know, the bravado and the kind of like idiot confidence, the charisma. Like he doesn't have any, like it's not even the same character. He's just a different character called Ashley, who's like a random like young dude who wants to party and, you know, hang out with his girlfriend or whatever, like all that, like the archetype, like the legendary like Ash character isn't there. So it makes perfect sense for that to have been rebooted with the Evil Dead with Evil Dead 2. So that's in a different category. And then I feel like the Evil Dead, the 1981 Evil Dead, and then the Evil Dead remake are completely separate from the Ash comedy horror movies, like straight up like Three Stooges with zombies kind of stuff, which is the stuff that I prefer over the straight horror, the Evil Dead and the Evil Dead remake. And and I think it's you know splitting those two, it makes it easier for me to kind of really treat the first The Evil Dead as the 1981 Evil Dead as the kind of like the one that I can watch as a completely separate movie and just enjoy the charms of its low budget and how silly it can be and how much of a like kind of non-screenplay that it has, and it's basically like a low budget exercise in style. So I don't think it's, you know, it's definitely like the one that began it all, but it's also, you know, I agree that out of those like four movies and TV show, it's the lowest one in quality. But at the same time, I don't think it's just a different film, and it's completely within not even within the same universe as Evil Dead 2. So that's why I don't, you know, I still find value in it. I don't think it should be discarded just because Evil Dead 2 exists. It's a completely different tone and mood than Evil Dead 2 to me.
Totally. And you even said, you know, better, you know, when I brought up Texas Chainsaw Massacre and 1 and 2, and I'm not like comparing the Evil Dead with the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because it's apples and oranges. Texas Chainsaw is like a far superior movie in every way, but they are two different types of movies. But I guess what I was saying is that director at that level, director intent versus execution isn't always in alignment, I guess is what I'm saying, because Tobe Hooper has said when he made Texas Chainsaw Part 2, which is admittedly more over the top and more darkly comic than the original, like clearly, he said he meant for the original to be more comic, like to be more darkly comic. How he could do that, I have no idea, because that movie is so relentlessly terrifying that I don't see how any humor could break through it. But sure, okay, let's say he was doing that. But he, if that's the thing, then he failed in the best way possible, but then he failed and then went on to do it with his bigger budgeted film. And then Raimi, you know, I don't know if he meant to make a serious horror movie or not. I don't totally think so. And maybe he did, and then the editing realized, well, this isn't working seriously, so I'm going to cut it for laughs. But then he was able to go off and make the movie he wanted with a bigger budget. So, as Octay said, we can't discount what the director was intending with the original movie when they go on to make the bigger movie.
Well, but the screenplay and the pre-production, as far as I know, didn't have any jokes in the
film. Oh, and I believe that. Film. I totally believe
like,
that.
They totally set out to make a serious horror movie. It's not like Evil Dead 2, where it's just like written with like, he chops off his hand and the hand walks away and gives him the finger. Like, there's definitely like intended goofiness from like day one on that production.
Absolutely, and I don't disagree with that, and you're right, pre-production and in the script, maybe they were going for a serious horror movie. I'm saying in the editing room, he may have realized this isn't going to work seriously, because I think almost all the humor, if it doesn't come from the over-the-topness in the movie, it comes from the way it's edited. It comes from the way that things and people's like terrible performance reactions are edited together. So I think intended when they were filming, they meant to make it straight, but I think when he got in that editing room, he edited it more for comedic effect
and realized
it worked on that level, and then went on to achieve that full on in Evil Dead 2, which, as Eric said early on, is Raimi's best movie, and he's made pretty fine movies, and that's his best one.
I'm a slightly bigger fan of Army of Darkness just because of how
it's so much fun,
stupid and fun it is, as opposed like
it's Evil so Dead fun. 2.
Evil Dead 2 to me still has a little bit of the mood and darkness of the first one,
and that's why I like it best. Because I think it's horror and it's comedy.
I think
it's the best horror comedy is because it balances those two the best. Because
Army of Darkness is 100% slapstick. I totally
agree. A lot of horror comedies,
that's why I love it, because I'm a big fan of Bruce Campbell. I'm a huge fan of Ash as the character from Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness, not the Evil Dead 1, that, like I said, that I look at that as a different character. But I totally understand that it's like that's the one that perfectly captured the mix of the two.
Indeed. I feel like we have peaked, gentlemen. What do you think?
I think we have. That was a very nice, brief for us. Very good conversation.
Nice. Yeah. Tight.
Yeah,
tight,
yeah.
Very tight, and we argued. We don't argue much, Eric.
I know, man.
I got into it.
Yeah, Octave was so great. Get into it. Yeah,
yeah. It's totally. he was like Raimi. He like prodded and poked my broken ankle until I finally had to get my chainsaw. So
let's expand a little bit on the Evil Dead universe. Have any of you guys watched Ash vs. Evil Dead?
Not yet.
I saw like most of the pilot. I wasn't crazy about it, to be honest, but I will try to finish it. I've actually gotten much more obsessed with another Star series. The Girlfriend Experience is actually really good, so I started watching that over.
I've heard
Ash.
That's good. Amy Simon's directed like half those episodes.
Yeah, dude, and she's in some of them. Yes. So anyway, awesome. Long story short, I have not watched Ash versus Evil Dead yet.
Yeah, it's definitely it capitalizes on the crassness of the character now that he's a little bit older. He's like definitely more of a like just careless asshole who lives in this like trailer park and only thinks about himself. And and talking about like how much of a issue we have with the way the inciting incident happens in Evil Dead Remake, which I'm still like kind of baffled by. Like I wish I had the chance to interview Fede Alvarez when Evil Dead came out, and I wish I had asked like why he made the choice of like just basically almost like trolling the audience into just going ahead with the fact that this character would still like it's not enough to like read like don't read this book, you're gonna die and stuff like that. He even like someone scraped out the words and he picks up a piece of paper and like scratches it with a pencil just so he's gonna be able to read it. Like it just goes to these like ridiculous lengths. But I like that in the series it's just like perfect Ash thing where he gets like high with a girl, and to impress her he just like pulls out the book and reads from it, and then like
this is in the show.
It's in the show, and then he just like he when the deadites start showing up again, he just like he had completely forgotten that he even did that. So there's some like
what an idiot.
There's some like pretty like it definitely like capitalizes a lot more on the, it has the tone of Army of Darkness a lot more than Evil Dead 2. It's definitely like a straightforward, really dumb, really really over the top comedy. Like so if you're a big fan of Army of Darkness even over Evil Dead 2 a little bit, which might be why Eric and you Ryan might find it a little bit annoying, but I love it. I love goofy, like overconfident, stupid asshole Ash. Like that's where like the character for me in Army of Darkness has like completely peaked into that, and I think those are the kinds of characters that Bruce Campbell can like do in his sleep, and he does a great job at it. So
cool.
The show is cool. I would totally recommend it. But yeah, it's the two straightforward horror Evil Deads. Definitely. I feel like I'm kind of in between you two guys here. Like it's definitely like I feel like the
mood dependent.
Mood dependent. I feel like overall, in many ways, apart from just having a bigger budget, I feel like at least on a screenwriting level, I feel like the remake is superior. But it's sometimes, you know, some of these movies, like the charm and the nostalgia of how you relate to them, you know, goes a long way as to like how you appreciate them. So maybe that's why I'm not as ready as you, Eric, of like just chucking it. And you know, even though like when I was like recollecting the Evil Dead movies on Blu-ray, even though I don't consider it part of the series of Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness, I still made the point of getting the original because I still have like this personal nostalgic connection to it, I guess.
I hear you.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, what do you guys think? Shall we wrap this up?
Let's do it.
Well, I'd say that wraps up episode 46 of Over Under Movies. You can subscribe to us now on the playlist feed and listen to us on the playlist. We'll still be posting to the Over Unders feed for a while, but you'll be getting the episodes first on the playlist podcast feed. So definitely subscribe to that on iTunes or SoundCloud or however you listen to your podcasts. Next episode for episode 47 will be my picks.
My friend, yes.
It'll be mine, which I guess could be titled
we're gonna get
substance
drunk.
Substance Abuse in the Desert. We'll be doing the Ozploitation film Wake in Fright as the underrated, and Terry Gilliam's cult film Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas as an overrated. So
yeah.
We'll definitely be getting heavy into that. But signing off for this episode is Ryan Oliver. I also co-host another podcast called Unspooled Reel.
And this is Octavia Kozak, film critic for the Oregon Herald, the playlist, DVD Talk, and Bayaspara.com. And you can also find us on Twitter at OverUnderMovies, and at you can like our Facebook page at facebook.com/OverUnderMovies.
And signing off, I'm Eric McClanahan, film critic for Oregon Arts Watch, The Playlist, and I have another podcast called Adjust Your Tracking. You know, I should say, guys, it's a good thing we're going to be recording that next episode. Really looking forward to it because we're going to just be so fucked up, man. We're going to need some. We're going to need some audio proof that we had that conversation for those movies.
Exactly. Eric's going to jump into the bathtub and he's going to be like, "We have to end the podcast right at this moment when the White Rabbit plays."
Exactly. Jefferson Airplane. Cue him right now.
That's going to be
cool.
Do it.
Well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.